Lay.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. This week, we'll be previewing the final major of the 2022 season, the British Open. Yes, the British Open is what we shall call this. You can find us on Twitter at Always Pressing DFS, Always Press DFS. I'm on Twitter at BDentric, and my co-host is always on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Looking forward to talking some golf with you again. Yep. And I've always said it on this show. I love this golf tournament because I love links golf. I love the chaos that can ensue on a real golf course, not one they make chaos like the U.S. Open. Like this is beautiful stuff. It just sucks. It's almost over when I wake up in the morning.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's shitty about the Open Championship. But you do get some good golf throughout the day on Thursday, Friday. I guess for you, it's a little bit earlier because I'm waking up at 8 o'clock. That's 5 o'clock your time. But either way, yeah, I enjoyed last week watching the Scottish Open. I don't know if you got to watch much of that or not.
I did, and right now as we record, I'm watching the replay of the final round on the Golf Channel. I love links golf. It's the best.
It is.
Half Moon Bay has an awesome links course. I've played a couple times. There's a links course down south of me, and there's one up in Bodega Bay. So it's great because it's gettable unless as you'll hear all week, the wind comes into play. Then it gets really, really fun. So. Yeah. I love it. Absolutely love it. And we'll see how this week plays out. But what do you think of the Scottish Open? Xander with another W. A lot of big names just choked the big one. And then he had some surprise. It was a wild tournament. And it kind of was, a great preview for what might be to come this week.
Yeah, it was. The win was a huge factor on Thursday, Friday. I watched a lot of it in the morning time on Saturday and Sunday as well, but not as much as I did during the week. But yeah, I mean, it's fun to watch that just hit different shots and, you know, have to hit more precise type of shots as far as like if you miss it just by a little bit, you can get a terrible kick and be, you know, in a bunker that takes two or three shots to get out of. And so it's just different pace. And I love, like you said at the beginning, watching Lynx golf, especially the Open Championship. I think it's always fun to watch it.
Yeah, and it brings everybody into play, which is good, which I enjoy because we get some of these majors where it's just like, oh, let's just like take half the field out of it before they even tee off, and that kind of makes it tough. So you can take a little more chances when it comes to your lineups this week, which will be fun. You might want to, after last week, maybe not as many chances. We'll see how it all plays out. But it should be a ton of fun. But you got anything else on the Scottish Open, or you want to just jump right into the British Open?
I guess we just won't even talk about the Barbasol.
Oh, sorry. I did get to watch that. That was okay. This is the one thing I'll say. The beauty of everything being spread out. You had Scottish in the morning. You had Barbasol. You had the Century. The Century, which I was watching with the sled, was very entertaining to me.
Yeah.
So we had golf literally all day. I slept the Golf Channel on, basically. It was beautiful. But yeah, Trey Mullinax, Streels almost got there. What's your thoughts? They tore up your home course.
Well, it's not necessarily my home course. I've played there a lot. But yes, it is amazing to watch these guys play from further back, probably on faster greens than what they normally keep the greens at, and just, you know, shoot 25 under. I mean, it's amazing. But, you know, it was aided too by the fact that we got a shit ton of rain over 3 days, and it hadn't rained here in 2 or 3 weeks prior to that. So just one of those things. But yeah, Trey Mullinax out of nowhere. It just seems like whoever wins that golf tournament's always out of nowhere.
Wasn't it Sheamus last year or the year before? Mm-hmm.
Sheamus was last year, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was actually on Sheamus last year. This year, not on Mullinax.
Grayson Murray won it 1 year.
That's right.
Did you see him this year?
No, what happened?
Well, I played him, of course. He started on the back and was 5 under through 9, and then made a double, a bogey, another double. And then hit a tee shot apparently from the 7th tee into the 8th fairway, which is just an absolute bomb straight right. Like, I don't even know how you do it. And apparently just quit after he hit that shot.
Oh, no.
Just packed it in. And the thing is like, I was thinking about this, and I tweeted about it, like, it's not a close walk to walk from 7 back to the clubhouse. There's a pond, a huge fucking pond in your way. So you have to walk down 8 through groups, I'm assuming, probably watching them play the hole, I would assume. And then around 9, with groups playing 9, which is a short par 3, but you have to walk all around this pond. Oh, yeah. So, sorry. I mean, this microphone, I'm literally just going to fucking just break it in half. He withdraws on after he hits his tee shot on 7, has to walk all the way around a pond, which would include walking down 8, which is a long par 5, and then around 9, which is a short par 3. But either way, you'd be walking through groups. I mean, why not just play those last two holes? I don't understand.
Do you think that as a professional, they could have got him a ride? Or did he actually walk?
I mean, I guess you could have hopped on a golf cart, but like, you're still going to be going through groups. People. Yeah. I mean, and people are going to be looking at you like, what the fuck is he doing? But from what I heard, he was still in town on Saturday night. That could be false.
Are there casinos close by?
No.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, good nightlife downtown Lexington, but other than that,
that's true. Yeah. Hopefully he's okay. We know he's had his issues in the past. Yeah. That's one of those, like, you might have had a mental just like, screw this, I'm out.
Blows your mind. So,
who knows? But the other story that I like to see from the Barbasol is Mark Hubbard with a big week, finished 3rd. His brother, who's a great follow on Twitter, he's his caddy, for those who don't know. He tweeted out back when Brooks declared for LIV that said, hey, it'd be nice if you withdrew so people actually could use the FedEx points. And Brooks did. I'm not saying that's why he withdrew, but he withdrew. Hubbard got the spot, played well, kind of blew up at the end on Sunday, and his brother tweets about this. And then his finish of 3rd yesterday, he got his tour card back because of these last 2 weeks.
That's
pretty cool. That's like, it wasn't just, Hubbard's brother was kind of being funny, but like at the same time, he's like being truthful. He's like, dude, my brother could use these. He'd like to get his tour card back, get out of the way. And then he goes out and does it. So that was pretty cool to see also. So
yes,
these small tournaments or these off tournaments from the big ones, they still mean something is what I'm trying to say to those that don't think they do. That's why these guys are bust. Like even Streelman, he's won before, but that W gets them so many exemptions.
You look at Trey Mullinax, he hasn't won anything. And
it's his first career win.
Is it his first win ever?
Yeah. First career PGA Tour win.
I just remember him like competing down in Texas 1 year and like being in the hunt there and on like going in the final 2 holes, I think maybe at the Texas Open or something, but I guess maybe he lost that. So, and then I know he went back to the Corn Ferry Tour and then has now made it obviously back to the PGA Tour. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool stuff. Yeah. That's why I like those little small tournaments, even like the Bahamas and stuff. People don't like them. I'm like, these are fun. These guys actually give a shit. It's like when you watch UFC, sometimes the undercard's better than the main card because these guys have to win. So it's like, these guys are going for it. Let's see what happens. I'm like, Jordan Spieth can finish 15th and it doesn't change his life. Where these other guys, it's a big deal. So that's kind of fun to watch if you're a sports fan out there. And then just for shits and giggles, what did you think of the tournament in Tahoe? I thought it was one of the more entertaining tournaments I've watched there in a long time.
I didn't see any of it.
It went to like a 2 or 3 hole playoff with Romo and Mulder and Joe Pavelski. But just some of the others like Rogers and McAfee. That's why I was watching it. But all these other guys, like it was very entertaining to me at least. Giant party.
Yeah. It looked. I saw some highlights. It looked fun.
Yeah. Music blaring the whole time. Timberlake was there talking about it. It was pretty entertaining. And then Chuck had his best round of his career, I think. So, but watching, talk about ejection. So you mentioned Grayson Murray's ejection. This will be the only thing I mentioned about the title, or at least the last thing. So Adam Thielen, if you get a bird, like an eagle, I think it's worth 5 points. It would have tied him to get him into the playoff. And he's a good golfer. He knows it's a par 5 on 18, gettable par 5. And he's got distance. He launches his drive basically onto the beach. Like far right. So he goes down there to have to play it because he's like, I got to get it up. So he tries to get it up from there, just chunks it into the woods. But his 3rd shot got on the green and he almost made birdie at least. It was very impressive. But he was in no man's land, but it reminded me of the rest of us trying to play golf. So, but all right, I digress. People don't care about our enjoyment of golf for the weekend, but the Barbasol, Scottish Open, Century, we had all kinds of fun stuff. No live. They did. Did you see their stupid tweet?
Which one?
I think it was Friday or Saturday. It was a picture of DJ that basically said, "Man, something along the lines like, what should we do this weekend with no live golf?" I was just like, you guys got to stop. Like I appreciate the live thing. I'm enjoying it. Like, let's just kind of tone it back. Your whole idea is we're playing fewer weeks. Let's not pretend like, right. I guess the whole point.
And they sued to get into the Scottish Open last week and got in because of an injunction. So yeah.
But yeah, but not all the guys came to play. That surprised me. But did you see what they did for the pairings for the Scottish Open with those guys?
No, I didn't.
I believe Poulter and one of the other guys got put out in a twosome instead of a threesome by themselves. And then the other ones were in threesome, but they're both, one was the first tee time in the morning, one was the first tee time in the afternoon. So they were by themselves basically the whole time. It was so good. That's obviously funny. That changed going into the weekend, but all at least right. For the first 2 days, it was just like, yep, screw you guys, you're on your own. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, that's pretty solid.
All right, enough of that. Let's talk British Open. Love this tournament. Should be an absolute blast, which means my lineups will tank tremendously. But we'll see what happens. What do you got for past event history, which we have a lot of, even at this course, technically?
So last year, obviously, Colin Morikawa was the winner, two under, two shots over Jordan Spieth, but that was at Royal St. George's. Shane Lowry won in 2019. Franny won in 2018. Jordan Spieth won in 2017. Stenson, 2016 champion. Now, Zach Johnson was the 2015 champion in a playoff over Leishman and Louis Oosthuizen, and that was at St. Andrews. And then previous to that, 2010, Louis Oosthuizen was the winner, 16 under, seven shots over Lee Westwood. Tiger won it in 2005. And that's probably pretty much all that really matters as far as with the current field. So, but yeah, St. Andrews obviously has been on the rotation. Tiger's won it twice at St. Andrews.
This is the 150th. Yes. British Open. So it's a big one back at the old course, St. Andrews. Like, this is one of those courses. I know Jesse can probably agree with me on this one. Outside of like Augusta, maybe this is like towards the top of the bucket list. For like, sure. Like, yeah. This is one you really gotta want to go play. It's pretty cool. They were showing the practice round for Tiger and JT on Sunday. And I didn't realize it, I guess, but it makes sense now that they say it, that St. Andrews is basically a public park. There's like people just walking their dogs and stuff. So you can just be walking and go, oh wow, Tiger's out there. Cool. Like, it's just a whole different animal, and it's such a cool setup there in good old Scotland. And I always want to say it's England, but no, it's Scotland. You got to remember that one for sure. It's Fife, Scotland, technically. And it's, like I said, the old course, St. Andrews. It is a par 72, a little over 7,300 yards. Does not play that long, though, when it gets – well, depends on the wind. Let me specify. But it rolls out a ton. If you're hitting fairways, which are very wide fairways, you're going to be okay. So you got that going for you. But it's going to be a pretty good setup for the guys. Obviously, you want to avoid the pot bunkers that can turn a par into a quad bogey if you play it wrong. You'll see guys play backwards at times. That'll be a lot of fun as well. There's like little roads you have to hit. There's certain spots on the green you have to hit. The greens are tremendously large on most holes, so you have to keep that in mind. So three-putt avoidance will be very important. You got to avoid the three putts on these massive, massive greens. If you're looking for the green complexes, they are fescue, bent, and poa blends. That doesn't really matter to most people here, but the biggest thing is you want to stay in the fairways, which again are large, and your approach game is important. And the layout's different for most par 72s. It's two par threes, only two par fives. Usually we get four par fives. There's 14 par fours, so par four is going to be very important. Seven of the par fours are less than 400 yards. You can potentially drive these greens if you get the right wind and roll going on. Like DJ did that year. He was rolling, and then the wind kicked up on the weekend, and he finished 49th. But he was cruising because he could just bomb and gouge the place. So driving distance will be important this week, depending on what's going on. The back nine, for the most part, plays into the wind. So keep that in mind if you think you're having a great round. Things could change real quickly, so buckle up for that. Other than that, though, I think I said three-putt avoidance. You're going to want to your approach game, potentially scrambling. If you're in the pop bunker, you're pretty much effed. That's just you're taking at least one stroke to get that figured out. And other than that, just enjoy the golf. And I'd say bogey or even double bogey avoidance will be huge, because just trying not to have the massive, massive blowups is going to be a big, big thing as well. So what stats are you looking at this week, Jesse?
Yeah, a lot of similar stuff. You know, obviously, the one thing about this particular place, if you look at the traditional scores, I mean, 15 under is the winner, 16 under is the winner. Tiger shot 14 and, he shot 14 in 05. He shot 19 in 2000. So, I mean, it's gettable. So birdie or better, I think, is a good stat to weigh. And there's a lot of course history because they do actually play at least one round here. It might be two or three for a different tournament every year, the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. So there's more course history than just the Open Championship every 5 years.
For sure, for sure. That'll be definitely something to keep in mind. But it'll be fun when we talk bets later on because there's a lot of interesting things taking place there. But let's get into the DK picks of the week. As usual, broken record here, loaded field for a major, and it might be the most loaded we've seen. I saw a stat, 50 of the top 51 in the world are playing in this tournament, which you don't see very often, even for majors. Like, that's a big boom. So the big dogs are here.
I guess Berger's the only one who's not.
Yep, Berger withdrew, and if you're on Fantasy National, he's still in the model, so keep that in mind if you're plugging around there. But we have six guys over 10,000. Rory at 11-1, Scheffler at 11, Rahm at 10-8, JT at 10-5, Morikawa at 10-3, and Jordan Spieth at $10,000. How are you breaking down the 10K range?
Yeah, man, I think Rory's the clear favorite here. You know, he's played this place a bunch, playing the Alfred Dunhill and then obviously the Open Championship. He did not play the Open Championship in 2015, but he did play it in 2010, finished third, has a bunch of second-place finishes at the Alfred Dunhill. So, and obviously playing really well coming in, has a win the Canadian Open, played well at the U.S. Open, Travelers played well. John Rahm would be my second pick. He did miss the cut in his only appearance here back in 2019, which was Alfred Dunhill, but coming off a made cut last week, you know, I just feel like at some point he's going to have to figure it out. Scheffler would be my third pick, and then, it's hard not to play Jordan Spieth. I hope that this price will kind of keep people off of him. Fourth place here last year, obviously has won a Open Championship in the past. Played last week, finished 10th, has been playing very solid golf. I love Jordan Spieth this week at 10,000, especially. I hope that people are going to Rory, and that leaves Jordan a little bit under-owned is my hope.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to looking at an ownership projection starting tomorrow because I did listen to Mayo's pick show with Jeff, and he's all in on Spieth for DK, he said. All in. He said, don't be a fool, play him, is what he said. So we'll see what the ownership looks like. But Jordan plays great at links courses, great in the British Open. You mentioned all the stats there. He's still 14th in my model, but that's because I weigh driving distance pretty heavily in my model. I'm trying to be heavier than normal on that for my approach, and he's definitely not a big driver of the ball. But you read a lot of his quotes. He's like, my approach game, you know where to hit it and roll it out. That's where that course knowledge goes. Like, he's phenomenal for this course, as you mentioned. I love Rory McIlroy. He's second in my model. Eventually, that's like, it's the old ad. Is like, eventually he's got to break through on this one. Like, he fits everything perfectly, but he just finds a way to find the banana peel. Hopefully he doesn't. Over the last 24 rounds, he's number one in par four scoring in this field. First in birdie or better gain. First in DK scoring. Second on approach. Second in driving distance. Like, he does it all, what you're looking for here. Love John Rahm, as you said, as well. The only other guy you didn't mention that I'm kind of interested in, even though he plays like his last few opens, 11th and 19, miscut 53rd, miscut last week, but I don't know if he was focused or just wanted to get out here. JT's first in my model because if you're talking approach game, he's one of the best out there, period. He's 8th in par 4 scoring, 6th in birdie or better. Rates out really, really well. I didn't think he'd be that good in my model. I think he's not one of my favorite guys in this field, but first, at least I have to pay attention to that is what it comes down to. So will be a fun one for sure. 9K range, you got the red hot Xander Schauffele. Maybe that'll take some ownership off of Spieth. We'll see. At $9,900. Fitz at 97, who, yes, I'll be playing again this week. Will Zalatoris, 97. Cam Smith at 95. Cantlay, a good finish last week at 94. Shane Lowry at 93. DJ at 92. Hideki, 91. And Victor Hovland at 9,000. What are you liking in this range?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much everybody 97 to 93. I mean, I don't know that going to Xander is a terrible idea. I'm just not going to do it. I never get him right. And, I mean, that's back-to-back wins for him.
Yep.
It's pretty insane. Fitzpatrick, 9,700, obviously U.S. Open champion. Has played here in the past, only at the Alfred Dunhill. Has three missed cuts and five appearances. Best finish is 15th. Sixth place last week, first of the U.S. Open. Arguably just as good as form as Xander. Will Zalatoris missed the cut here last week, which was kind of surprising. The wind was pretty bad, but, you know, I think going back to him is fine. I'm going to go back to Cam Smith for sure, no matter what. I was glad that he didn't, like, go super deep as far as his – he finished 10th last week at the Scottish Open. And this place does not penalize super badly wayward drives. I mean, see Jordan Spieth winning here or not winning here, but winning Open championships in the past. So Patrick Cantlay at 9,400, another solid finish for him last week, fourth, 13th the week before that, 14th the week before that, third the week before that. So he's figuring it out. And last but not least, Shane Lowry. I mean, we talk about him when he plays over in the States, and I'm not going to not play him when he's playing, you know, the Open Championship. He's a past winner. His worst finish, well, he missed the cut at the U.S. Open, but his worst finish besides that since April is 32nd. So,
yeah, no, this is an awesome area. I think Xander will be popular. I'm not playing a popular Xander. Pretty simple for me. Did play a lot of him last week, and he was more popular than I thought. So we'll see how this one turns out. Fitz at 97. I'm all in on Fitz. Ninth in my model. He's second in par four scoring, seventh in DK scoring, 10th in birdie or better. Love me some Fitz. I don't mind Willie Z. He's still seventh in my model, even with the bad week, fourth in par four scoring. I was surprised to see, because I did a three-putt avoidance in my model. He's 31st. I thought he'd be worse the way he putts, but he's actually pretty good at that. So we'll go with some Willie Z in a major. Just realize he is Anderkirst, everybody out there. So keep that in mind. Basically, Tim Anderson said it was free money with Will Zalatoris. So have fun with that. I always like Cam Smith. And Cantlay's a guy that I'm hoping comes in low-owned in this range. I usually don't play him much in these type of fields. He's also usually in the 10K range. But the recent form really has me excited. It's one of the things you'll hear people like put out different trends and stuff for British Open champions. And current form is tremendously important. Like, it sounds pretty simple and Captain Obvious stuff, but like way more than other tournaments. And this one, like, you really got to have your mental game and your overall golf game playing well. Cantley's got that. Love Shane Lowry. Like you said, we basically play him in the States all the time. Why would we not play him in a format that fits him perfectly?
Right.
So give me Shane's 10th in my model, 7th in par 4 scoring, 4th in approach in the last 24 rounds. The other guys I'll mention, and this is strictly pivots and tournaments, because this 9K range should be very popular. I think DJ is very enticing. I'm just going to say it. He played very well at the U.S. Open. Finished, what, second at the live event last week, or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, last week. I'm intrigued at $9,200 with him. And then Hideki at 91 also has my attention. Missed the cut last week, but it was good to see him out there, fourth at the U.S. Open. And then coming in to this event, he's missed three of his last four cuts at the British Open. So I'm hoping that gets his ownership low, because if it's one of those, he's got to grind it out. When you talk the three-putt avoidance, he's 16th in this field. He's 9th in proximity, 9th in par 4 scoring. The course fits him great. Can he handle the wind? We'll have to wait and see. I think he will just fine. So Hideki and DJ be my two, like, ownership potential plays there. I think, like, the Lowrys, the Smiths, the Willie Z for sure will be very popular. So DJ and Hideki could give you a little potential ownership change. 8K range, you got Burns at 89, Oosty 88, Hatton 87, Fleetwood 86, Brooks 85, Finau is just cemented in majors in this mid-8K range at 84, Sungjae 83, Connors at 82, DeChambeau at 81, and Joaquin Neiman at 8,000. Who are you picking here?
Start with Hatton at 8,700. Not super great on the stats, but his course history here is pretty good, and obviously since 2015, they haven't played so last year, Alfred Dunhill second, 15th second, first.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good at the old course. He did miss the cut in 2015 at the Open Championship, but
probably a different Tyrell Hatton.
Yeah. 24th last week. I like Tyrell pretty well this week. Tommy Fleetwood's another guy who plays here a lot, and 7th, 5th, 2nd. 25th in his last four starts at the old course, and 4th last week. So Tommy's figuring it out as well. Finau, 8,400. He's played at the Alfred Dunhill a couple times, finished 10th both times, and has figured, you know, has better, but a lot better form than he did earlier this season. 13th missed cut at the U.S. Open, 2nd, 4th. So playing pretty well. And last but not least, actually two more. Corey Connors, 8,200. He played last week at the Scottish Open, ended up finishing 61st, just didn't make enough birdies, really. I mean, you know, he was pretty much right around par. I think was it a par 70 last week?
Yes, par 70, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, just didn't have a good weekend at all. But ball striking is always there with Corey, and this should not be a putting fest. And then Joaquin Neiman at 8,000, another guy I played last week at the Scottish Open. Finished 16th, missed cut at the Travelers, but 47th, 3rd, 23rd, 25th. I mean, just solid for $8,000. I like going to Joaquin.
This is terrifying because we have the same guys checked off. literally the same guys. I have Hatton, who I'm with you on, because he's a perfect GPP play. We talk about it time and time again. It's all between the ears most of the time with him. All
right.
And he plays really well here, so I got no problem with Tyrell. Fleetwood is definitely figuring it out. I kind of wish he didn't finish so well on Sunday, because you could get him at lower ownership. He plays his course phenomenally, as you mentioned. I love Finau. It's terrifying. He's fourth in my model, fourth off the tee in the last 24, fourth around the green, first in three-putt avoidance, fourth in par four, fifth in DK. Like, he rates out really well. Really well right now. You say he's figured it out. We talked about him the last couple of weeks as his numbers are starting to get better and better. And so don't let me down, Finau. And he plays well in the wind too. So I don't mind some Tony. Got Connors. He had a rough week last week, but if it's not the approach game, if that's what you really need, this dude's one of the best. We say it time and time again. And then I love Neiman. Played a lot of Neiman last week. It's a broken record, but if you get any wind involved, Neiman is a beast out there. And he showed that last week. In some of those really bad conditions, Neiman just kept torching that course. So I like him as well at $8,000. The one guy I'll ask you about, and I think he'll be popular because of his past history here, but what about Usti at 88?
I mean, right now, he's projected like besides Brooks and Bryson, the lowest owned in the 8K range.
Wow, so the LIV guys get no love.
Yeah, no love. I mean, pretty much all three of those guys, the lowest owned in this range, with Burns being the fourth lowest. But
that's enticing then.
Yeah, I mean, especially GPPs, it seems like all these LIV guys are just not going to get any love. So, I mean, it's worth a shot. I mean, you know, obviously, Brooks is a little different and Bryson, but Louis is just Louis. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he was inside the top five on Sunday.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind Louis or Burns at low ownership, honestly. I think that's a great way to pivot if you need to. Brooks is so tough. Like, I don't want to play him. I don't have him checked off. His form's just ugly right now, but man, does he play well at these links courses. Plays really well at these links courses, but he's playing so bad. Like, it's like, I don't think I have to force my hand there. I could take a risk somewhere else. But Usti and Burns, I'd be willing to take some potential ownership changes on if that dictates it. And I usually, if I have time, I talk about a lot of the ownership on like Wednesdays in the Tuesday night or Wednesday in the Discord. If you guys want to drop in there, I give a couple quick thoughts as well. 75 to 79, you got Berger at 79. Homa, who is just, I love watching. I don't know why I have like a soft spot on him. When he's playing well, it's so much fun to watch at 79. Bobby Mack, horrible, like last four holes on Friday, 78. You got Cam Young at 78, Scott at 77, Leishman at 77, Answer at 76, Webb at 76, and then LT Gray, Casey, Mr. New LIV member, and Horschel all at 75. So what are you liking in this range?
I mean, not a whole heck of a lot. I do love Max Homa, though. I mean, like, I played him last week, and
I just play him every week now. I just do. I mean, the dude's a
I feel like he was underpriced last week. I mean,
yeah, 100% agree. Yep,
8,000. So
he's underpriced this week.
I don't disagree with you. He finished his 16th last week. He had it going on Sunday, and
he was under one point.
I was surprised to look back at the scores when I checked it again and see that he didn't have a very good finish there. So. Love Max. Adam Scott's a guy who I think is very playable. In his two appearances at the Open, at the Old Course, he finished 10th and 27th. The recent form isn't like super great, but Adam Scott at 7,700, as many times as he's probably been around this course, I like it. I played Billy Horschel last week too, and that was not fun.
Yep.
I felt like he was underpriced, and I feel like he's underpriced again this week, but. You know, I mean, off the missed cut, I think it's fine. He finished 30th here in the 2015 Open Championship and then played last year at the Alfred Dunhill and finished 36th. Tiger's interesting at 75. I mean, I
can't do it. I get it. I get it. I totally get it. I hope he wins. I really do. I can't do it.
I just don't know what to do with him. I mean, have you seen his leg? I'm going to
enjoy watching him on TV. It's
disgusting. Did you see his actual leg?
Yeah, I don't it's like Manute Bol-esque.
I mean, it's bad, man.
Like, I don't know if people
lucky to have a leg. I think
if people really want to go back in basketball terms, I went to a lot of Kings games as a kid. Keon Clark, tall, tall dude, had like toothpicks for legs. It was terrifying to see. That's how Tiger's leg looks to me.
Well, that plus, like, it's deformed. I guess he's fucked up, man.
Yeah, there's a reason he couldn't walk the fourth round at the PGA.
Yeah, and then didn't want to play in the U.S. Open.
He's played a lot of golf this week, though. Like, he's moving just fine right now, so we'll see.
They had some kind of, like, champions tournament today, and he was out there.
Yeah, he's just not stopping. He played in that Pro-Am. He's been playing all over Scotland.
It's easier to walk, though, than, like, Augusta probably Tulsa or definitely the U.S. Open course, whatever that was. I've already forgotten.
Is it Brookline?
Brookline. There you go. Yeah. Massachusetts.
Yeah. We'll see. It's tough. Like, I don't blame anybody if you have a big multi-entry, but even in my 20 max, I don't think I'll have any Tiger.
Yeah. I mean,
I have invested interest just in my heart for Tiger, not my pocketbook.
I mean, they, on Fantasy Labs, which has a partnership with another company, he's at 1.56% owned.
Oh, he'll be virtually unowned, because I think we're all, like, a lot of people at least share my sentiment. A lot. And so if you want to take the gamble, I totally get it. We talked about it with, like, Stallings a couple weeks ago, even though Stallings came in way chalkier than I thought. But it's just that whole tournament appeal. Like, if you want to go for broke, this is the dude that if everything clicks at this golf course, you would not be shocked if Tiger wins. And at 75, even a top 10 is phenomenal. Like, yeah. That's outstanding. He's not priced at 95. He's $7,500. I get the argument. I just don't – I see it being like the Masters, where it's like he makes the cut and then just kind of falls away.
I could see that, yeah.
That's where I'm worried. Because when we watched the Masters, it was like he looked great early because he knows the place, but because his body is wear down after all that competitive golf. And I know it's a different walk, like you said, but it's like still – like there's only so much that leg can take.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So I'm just concerned. Anything else in this range before I get
that's my it picks? For me.
Okay. Yeah, I love Homa, fifth of my model. He's great scrambler, ninth par four, fourth in DK scoring over the last 24. He's no worse than like 35th in all but one category I have out here. So he's very, very good. I'm going back to Bobby Mack, hopefully a low ownership. Last week was so frustrating because he was playing really good golf till like I said, like the last five or so holes on Friday and then just imploded. I'll go back to my low ownership potentially at 78. Same can be said for Cam Young. If you are a driving distance believer, Cam Young's your dude, and he was horrific last week. I think he was like plus 13 or something. It was bad. I'm not going all in on Cam Young, but again, this is a guy that could potentially get you a nice finish if things play out properly. The other guys I have circled here, Webb Simpson coming in really good form right now, 35th in my model, a lot of great finishes of late. Again, not priced super high, so give me a top 20, top 15 out of Webb. I can see that at 76. And then one thing I want to keep close attention to, and I might tilt my face off because it could be a late WD, but I'm very intrigued with Paul Casey at 7,500. I know he keeps WDing, but it's one of those, did he like do this so he could be healthy for this event? He just went to live. Like, there's so many different things going on. He should not be $7,500 if he was healthy. Now, that's the thing. He hasn't been healthy. I get it. I'm not stupid. But it's one of those deals, like, if he has any resemblance of health, $7,500 is way too cheap for Paul Casey. So,
yeah.
I'm very like I. That's why I'd rather take my chance with Paul Casey than Tiger Woods. That's where I'm at.
I could see that. Paul, I mean, he hasn't played in 4 months, so surely it's scary. He's better now.
Yeah, it's scary. He should be better. Let's hope to God he's better by now. I doubt Liv. Well, never mind. They probably still would sign an injured Paul Casey. But I have a hunch. I hope, but I'm going to keep a close eye because I'm not overly confident either. Trust me on that one. All right, 7K to 74. Who you liking?
Justin Rose at 7,400. He's been playing better of late. Yep. Did miss the cut in the 10 championship, but finished sixth in the 15 open championship at this course. He made the cut last week, didn't play well on the weekend at all. Shot 78 on Saturday, finished pretty much last, but made the cut. U.S. Open finished 37th, Canadian Open finished fourth. So I think he's playable. Mito at 7,300 is interesting to me because, I mean, like, you know, people were loving to play Mito, and now he has missed three consecutive cuts, showing him at, like, 5% owned. He shot 81.
It got windy, and he imploded.
I know. I mean, it was, like,
he was like, bad. Going low and before the wind kicked up. And then boom.
I know. But that's three straight missed cuts for him. Travelers, well, U.S. Open.
I'm with you.
I mean, it's just sketch. But from a GBP perspective, at $7,300, I like I like it, especially if it's 5% or less.
Dude should have won the PGA.
Yeah. Yeah. Jordan Smith, he's a Euro Tour guy. He's been playing really well of late. 24th last week, 24th at the Irish Open, 8th at the BMW, 10th at the European Open. Victor Perez at 7,100. Been around here. He's actually a past winner of Alfred Dunhill back in 2019. He did miss the cut last week. But, you know, I think he's definitely playable. And then last but not least for me, Cameron Tringali, man. I mean, I know his putter was, like, just absolutely in fuego the first 2 days, especially when he shot 61. He still finished sixth. But, like, to me, just thinking about golf and how much
confidence
that gives you when you know you're putting well, it takes a lot of the mental bullshit that your mind goes through when you're hitting shots out. So at 7,000, I mean, right now looking at like 4% owned for a guy who finished sixth last week and was really winning it for 3 days. Yeah. Yeah. Give me some Cameron Tringali this week.
I don't blame you. Like, would we be shocked if he trunks lands? No. Mm-hmm. But this is a guy I've played a lot in the past when he's very streaky. So he gets that confidence going, runs a few tournaments together, he's super cheap. I don't mind that play at all. This is a fun range where I'm going to name off a bunch of guys and people get annoyed, but I'm going to strictly say I got them checked off and then I'm going to check ownership because I think there's a lot of good pivots in this range on especially a wild, potential windy situation. And the weather is still changing, so I'm not even worried about that because one thing I didn't mention, everyone starts on the first hole, so there's really no waves. So just keep that in mind. And the wind comes off the ocean, so it can come on for like two holes and disappear again. So good luck figuring out weather waves unless we see something really, really bad. So.
The one thing I will say on that is there's supposedly some rain coming in Friday morning.
Okay, so that could slow things down to a Saturday cut.
No, I'd say they'll play through it.
That's true. They do play through it over there. There's no trees to worry about and stuff.
They rarely ever call it off.
That's even more fun to watch.
But right now, it looks like the rain is ending at like 7 a.m. But that's something to keep an eye on because yes, you're right. Predicting the wind here, I mean, good luck. But if it's raining for periods, and that's for sure, I mean, I want to avoid guys who are going to play in that rain because it sucks.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. So that's something to keep an eye on for sure because, if you can get the maybe Friday afternoon guys after it dries up and hardens up. Because if it's also not running out like usual, that changes things too. If it's windy and not running, that'll make this a whole different golf course. It'll be like 7,500 yards instead of 73. Right. That's what it'll feel like. So good info there. That'll be fun to keep an eye on for sure. So in this range, I think Seamus is interesting. 22nd in my model, 9th in the par 4 scoring, 5th in double bogey avoidance, which I think is very important. Good 3-putter, good scrambler. Justin Rose item checked off as well for the things you mentioned. Another live guy that could be interesting, not playing the greatest of golf, but Sergio, he finds a way in these tournaments. So he's a guy that I'm intrigued with, so I'm assuming he'll come in super low owned. Made 3 of his last 4 cuts at the Open Championship. I don't have the info like you do for the St. Andrews. But also when looking at Sergio, I wouldn't have any past event history because he's on Live now. Good point. Man, if Fantasy National can get Euro Tour and like Live all on this thing, that would be freaking amazing. I'd be a big fan. Mito, I'm with you there at 73. I'm intrigued. Cebes, he's 57th in my model, but he's 9th in scrambling, decent overall score. We saw him a few weeks ago play really well, so he could be a GPP play. Same with JT Poston. I know he's coming in red hot, but over the last 24 rounds, so not just his like two good tournaments, still 27th in my model. He's 3rd in the par 4 scoring, so that's big. Again, he's a total – like, in all honesty, the conversation we had with Cameron Tringali, him and Poston seem a lot alike to me. So I'd probably take the discount and take Tringali. So – just talking it out with you on this one. That makes sense to me. 100% in on Jordan Smith. Had a lot of him last week. Another Euro Tour guy to look at is Adrian Meronk. He missed the cut last week, but he's been playing really well. So has Ryan Fox. So those are 3 Euro Tour guys you can pick at down here. Lastly here, though, I'm going back to HV3. He withdrew because he wanted to go play other courses in Scotland last week. We even saw him, I think, playing with Tiger for one round. He's only $7,200. He's 11th in my model, 5th on approach. Over the last 24 rounds. So he is intriguing. And last but not least, I was honestly shocked that Gary Woodland's only $7,100. I know he played really well last week, kind of fell apart on Sunday, But man, windy, not windy. He's got different shots that'll fit this beautifully. So a $7,100 Gary Woodland, like even in cash, I kind of like that. So I could go there. Oh, and I had one more. Danny Willett just shows up at these tournaments. It's just there's really no rhyme or reason. Not in the greatest form, but if you want something like 2% ownership, there you go. 6K. You can make arguments. They might not be the best, but you can. So what do you like down here?
You had a great segue for this first guy that I'm going to mention, Minwoo Lee. No rhyme or reason, but for whatever reason, he makes cuts at like big
some
events.
Some guys just like these tournaments, man. It's hard to explain sometimes.
He missed the cut at the Scottish Open, made the cut the Irish Open, made the cut the U.S. Open, and then missed three straight cuts before that. Made the cut at the Masters, missed four straight cuts before that.
Big game hunter, Minwoo Lee. Yeah,
I don't know.
He won the Scottish 2 years ago.
There's no other reason. There's no reason to play him other than just, I mean, really, he's made the cut two of three majors this year, and two of like the harder ones, the Masters and the U.S. Open. Justin Harding, he's a live guy, but made the cut last week at the Scottish Open and was playing pretty well before that, before he went to the live tour. So I think he's fine at 6,800. Matthew Jordan has good course history at the Old Course. Thurston Lawrence. He played, he's missed a cut every time he's ever played at the Old Course, but played last week, finished 24th, 36th the week before that at the BMW. Joo-Hung Kim finished third last week.
Last week, yep. Played really well.
Yeah. I got a funny story. Ask me about that once we get off the air, but Kim at 6,500 is fine. And I mean, that's it that I'm willing to kind of get. I mean, I don't really think you have to go down here, but I mean.
You don't, but you can if you want
to. Yeah,
get
I mean,
weird.
You most definitely can for sure. I mean, and if you're playing a lot of lineups, this is a good place to at least get a flyer or two.
Let's just say last week I wasn't planning on being down here, and I had a ton of 6K guys by the time I was done building lineups. So you can do it. I think Adria Arnaus, I'll keep following with that ship just because he can bomb the ball. If he could, and these fairways are not peeing like you have with Cam Smith. So his putter just lets him down so often. So that'll be the kicker there. I think Kisner's interesting depending on the weather. If the weather's super nasty and you have to be able to drive the ball, not good for Kis. If he can get extra roll and stuff, this could be a Kis week. So that could be interesting. Hao Tong Li's coming in pretty good form. So Fantasy National stats won't show it, but he won a few events ago on the Euro Tour. He's playing really well. Lucas Hebert, Keith Mitchell coming in really good form. Keith Mitchell played really well last week. So he's one to keep an eye on as well. KH Lee rates out 28th in my model, and it's just mind-boggling to me. But he's a good approach player, so we'll see. One guy that's boring, Stu Goat. He was playing well last week. These kind of courses, it's like
windy. He's a past Open champion.
Yeah, like this is kind of a Stu Goat. Just kind of, I think that's why he's 6,800, not like 63. I think even DK noticed, like, yeah, he's probably not as bad as he looks. He's 33rd in my model, so he could be a fun one. EVR, I never get right, but he's played really well in his last two British Open appearances. Not here, obviously, just in general.
What about Rafa last week? We didn't even mention him.
Dude, that's a great
call. Is he in the field?
I did not see him in the field, no. I think he had, because I think he went like six or seven over on Sunday. He finished like so far. If he has played like even par, he's in the field this week. Dang. He imploded. So that was fun to see him come back, though. That for sure. Wyndham Clark had a big week last week. He's 6,600 if you want to go that way. I had a JK, I'm just calling him. Jaehoon Kim at 65, I had him checked off as well. And then the only other ones, Fabrizio Zanotti from the Euro Tour at 64, playing pretty good on the Euro Tour if you want a super punt. But you can get cute down here if you want. Like, it's just guys like EVR, he's proven he can win. So that has my attention at 67. Some of these other guys are kind of a little more streaky, but all have their viability in a tournament. All right, recapping things. 10K range, who's your one pick?
I'll say Spieth.
Yeah, it's a good one. I'll go on the other end. I'll go Rory. Like, the dude's going to get it one of these days, right? Just got to do it. 9K range, who you got?
I'm going to say Fitzpatrick.
That's a fun range. You took Fitz. Oh, man, I'm torn. I'll go with Shane Lowry. But I might have a lot of 3 9K guy lineups. That's good. That's a fun range. 8K range, who you got?
Hatton.
You got a Hatton. I will take... Probably chalky. Or no, I'll take Joaquin Niemann. Probably chalky too, but I'll take Niemann. 75 to 79.
Homa. I mean, that's chalky, yeah, but
I'm gonna take Homa too. I can't not take someone else. 7K to 74.
I'm gonna say Jordan Smith.
I love that call. I was heavy on him last week. I'm hoping he doesn't catch on. That'd be a great one to be a little different. I'll go Gary Woodland at 71. And who you got in 6Ks?
Man, Justin Harding.
Yeah, I like it. I dig it. I'm going to say Wyndham Clark. Just if I'm going to take a dart, take one in the mid-range, save some more cash. I'll go that route, but doesn't make you sleep easy. If you're starting out a cash lineup, which could be dicey if the conditions get nasty, where would you start this week?
Yeah, I mean, Homa, Finau's probably cash worthy, and like Neiman. So those are three guys in the same, like, you know, within right $500 of each other.
I'd say I'm with you on the same one. I'll make it easy. Homa, Neiman, and Finau. And you could have a lot of money to go a lot of ways with that. Yeah. Like throw Fleetwood in there if you want a fourth. Like you could easily put something together there. But if you're doing GPPs, this is a fun week for it, of course. Where would you go in this one?
Yeah, I mean, Hatton, Tringali. And then, like, Lowry, I mean, like you talked, like we talked about Lowry, he's just, I mean, I don't know why we're not playing him.
Yeah, I'm going to go DJ because I'm just thinking he's going to come in super low owned. I'm kind of excited about that. So I'll go DJ with some Shane Lowry. So I'll go 2 9K guys. I won't give away the thirds just yet. And I'll mix in a little Gary Woodland in there. So that'll be my GPP starting point. But the fun part here is in majors, you got all kinds of betting options besides just picks to win. You can get really weird if you feel like it. But who you got winning this thing?
I mean, you got obviously that's really short odds on most of the good golfers. But Hatton at 40. I mean, we talked about him. Homa at 40.
Both good.
Yeah. Horschel at 100. I know he's coming off a missed cut, but those are really long odds on Horschel, in my opinion. Just a misprice there. And then, yeah, I mean, if you want to look at, like, favorites, like, you know, Cam Smith at 28, Lowry at 22, I mean, really short odds on those guys. But obviously, if you think they're going to win, it's not terrible.
No, it's not terrible. Like those 40s that you mentioned, I think those are really strong with Homa and Hatton. I think even 35 on DJ is not bad if you're a believer like I am. I think 50 on Neiman's very good. And then 50 on Hideki, like, he's going to get it clicking again. So you got some good odds there. I like that long shot call as well. Good week to do some like head-to-heads and some other like different prop bets, which DK has tons of if you guys want to check all that stuff out. But final thoughts, Jesse, is this will tee off on Wednesday evening. So everybody, you'll be sleeping probably when it tees off. I'll be
1:30 in the morning my time.
So 10:30 my time. So I'll probably still be awake doing something stupid, probably something for baseball. But I'll be awake and enjoying that. Hopefully not. Like, that was the weirdest part, is waking up on at like 5 o'clock on Thursday morning, opening the app and seeing Tringali at 7 under. I was like, what in the world?
Yeah.
Is going on right now?
I think a lot of people were,
I was like, I had to like tap my phone to see if it was still working. But final thoughts for the Open Championship.
Not much other than, like I said, just keep an eye on the weather. I mean, there could be like that, like I said, that rain, you know, depending on when it moves in or whatever could affect some golfers. So
yeah, should be a lot of fun. We'll talk some more in the Discord if anybody wants to be in there. There's a lot of guys doing some good stuff in there, actually, between baseball, golf, and God knows what else. But check all that out. But until then, check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BD Entrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS. Give us a rate and review on iTunes or Spotify. We'd appreciate it. But for now, this was your British Open preview. Catch you guys later.